You're listening to the Parkside Christian Church podcast. Here at Parkside, our mission is to love God, love people, and help others do the same. To learn more, visit ParksideChristian.com.
Amen. That is indeed good news. Thank you. So glad that Lou and Charlie have agreed to join the team. Thanks to the elders and everybody that's been a part of that whole process. Thank you for all you do. I'm just so glad to be a part of this church family. Thank you. My name is Randy Shivers, if you don't know me, and it's always an honor to be the one to share from Word. And this week, in our time together, we're going to pick right up with the story of God. And in this week, we reach the climactic peak of God's story. So you came on the right Sunday. Here we go. Everything that we have talked about so far has been leading up to the arrival of Jesus. We have talked the plot twist that nobody anticipated or understood, but had been written in the story from the very beginning. It is not the end by any means, but it is the very heart of God's story. Each week in this series, we have been reminded of God's faithfulness. God keeps his promises. Thank you. We have also been reminded of the unfaithfulness of people who, since the very beginning, have wandered from God and are not able to keep their promises. And throughout history, we have seen that people have developed a very predictable cycle of wandering away from God and then needing to be rescued from the bondage and consequences of doing things their way instead of God's ways. Let's take a look at the timeline. We started with creation. And in creation, we found that Adam and Eve chose to follow their desire for fruit over their relationship with God. God only gave them one command. We move on to Abraham, family. Abraham laughed at God when God told him and promised him a family in his old age. Abraham's reaction was to laugh. Rescue. After God rescued his nation from slavery led by Moses, the people reverted back to worshiping a golden calf. And then after Joshua led them into the land of promise, that God promised them that they would be the conquering nation there and developed a kingdom, they still wandered away and worshiped the gods of the surrounding nations, which led to their rebellion and disobedience and to their exile and slavery again, because they would not listen to God's prophets. And even after their return from exile, the people could not keep their promises that they would keep and obey God's laws. So after Malachi, the final prophet, penned his words around 400 BC, the Old Testament was complete. And for many, the story ended right there. And God does not speak for another 400 years. He does not speak out. There's no recorded message from God for 400 years. Think about that. 400 years. But that doesn't mean he wasn't at work and that he wasn't tuned in. It just God didn't speak out for 400 years. And during those 400 years, the world continued on. And with many different empires rising and falling, the Jewish people were very much in the middle of many wars and heavily influenced by the results of those conflicts. Alexander the Great defeated the Persians who had the Israelites there in captivity. They had defeated the Persians, and they brought a Greek influence and the Greek language to the world. The Egypt and Syrians were also powers the Jewish people had to deal with in those years. And during those years, the Jewish religious system became more rigid because it was more influenced by religiously elite people than God. And around 63 BC, the Roman Empire came in and conquered that area and established their rule over the Jews. And they were oppressed. The Jews were oppressed, and the Romans were in power when God decided to step back into history. Which brings us to our timeline for today, Jesus. The arrival of Jesus. Kind of a summary for today. Jesus, a descendant of Abraham, Adam, Abraham, and David, Jesus, the one who crushes the head of Satan, will bless all nations and reigns forever. Jesus, the God-man, enters humanity through the womb of a virgin, perfectly obeys the law that we can never obey, dies as the once and for all sacrifice for our sins, and raises from the dead, conquering Satan, sin, and death. He inaugurates his eternal kingdom and secures salvation for his people. The scriptures tell us today as we go through this journey that the king has arrived. The time was right. It was God's timing. Paul wrote in Galatians 4:4, but when the set time had fully come, catch that, the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Jesus was the fulfillment of God's promise to Adam, Abraham, and David. Matthew 1:1. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. The next genealogy that Luke recorded, he added on the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. You see, God had promised Adam that his descendant would crush the head of Satan. God had promised Abraham that all nations will be blessed through his descendant. And David was promised that his descendant would reign as king forever. Jesus fulfilled all of those. John, the Apostle John, wrote about Jesus from heaven's view. In John 1, 1 to 3, he said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." Jesus entered our world. God entered our world through Jesus, but Jesus had always existed. Jesus was there with God in the beginning. That is so hard for us sometimes to comprehend, but Jesus was there with God. That's why Jesus said in John 5:58 that before Abraham was born, I am. Jesus was, Jesus is, and Jesus will always be the Son of God. In Mark, he records Jesus' baptism, and that's what it says. At that time, Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee was baptized by John in the Jordan, the river there. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Jesus' baptism is somewhat symbolic of when God's people in the Jordan River, symbolic of when God's people came through the Jordan River into the promised land. That was part of it. They came through the river into the promised land. Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River that through him, we could come in to the promised land of eternity and enter rest for our souls. So the king has arrived. Second thing, the kingdom is announced. In Mark 1, 14 and 15, after John was put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Now, Jesus announces himself that the kingdom is near. And the kingdom of God can be equated here with the rule of God. Jesus was proclaiming that the rule of God, what God really wants from us, is going to be on display. And Jesus was going to show them what God was all about. And this is the good news. God's way really is the best way. And Jesus came to invite all of us into his God's kingdom. We cannot enter the kingdom on our own goodness or our own works, but only through Jesus' goodness and the work of him dying on the cross and the resurrection. Jesus came to replace our hearts of stone that we heard about last week with new hearts. And God's kingdom was much different than expected. Let's see what Luke said. Luke recorded in chapter 7, 18 to 22, John's disciples, the same John that baptized Jesus in the Jordan River, told him about all these things, calling two of them he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who's to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to ask you, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?'" And at that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back, report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." Here, Jesus performs signs and miracles to validate God's kingdom and show people that he truly was the Messiah that they would have been expecting. And these signs and wonders that he performed there should be encouragements to us that we're a glimpse of the day when he will reverse the curse and those who follow him will experience God's everlasting kingdom with no more pain, no more shame, no more suffering, no more death or disease, because Jesus showed he has the power and the authority over all. So Jesus arrives, Jesus announces the kingdom, but Jesus' kingdom is upside down. I think this is going to be very interesting for us to realize that Jesus did not fulfill what the people thought the Messiah would do. The kingdom of God is not like any other kingdom. It's not what people expected back in Jesus' day. They were looking for a earthly kingdom. They wanted relief from the oppression of the Romans and to experience the glory of being a world power. That is not what Jesus came to do. And I think Jesus' kingdom still is confusing to many people. Why? Because Jesus chooses people that other people wouldn't normally choose. Jesus chose uneducated and normal people to be his disciples. In that culture, the Jewish culture, many rabbis would choose exceptionally gifted or influential disciples to mentor. But Jesus called those he wanted. Look what Mark wrote. Mark wrote, "Jesus went up to the mountainside and called to him those he wanted. And they came to him. And he appointed 12 that they might be with him and they might send out to preach." Jesus gathered disciples and is still gathering disciples from all walks of life. But his disciples back then were really considered less than desirable. No one would have thought that his followers would be in a position to change the world. No one really took them serious, but they did. Luke actually recorded in the book of Acts that the disciples of Jesus turned the world upside down. Jesus was judged by many of the religious elite for the choice of friends. Matthew records in chapter 11, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." We can be glad that Jesus is a friend of sinners, because we have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of our sin is death. But we can be glad that Jesus is a friend of sinners. Not only did he choose people that most kingdoms wouldn't choose, his message was upside down. If you consider what he had to say, to enter his kingdom, it was not to be about strong and power. It was to be like a child. Matthew wrote, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like a child, like a little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." To enter God's kingdom wasn't about power or strength or influence. It was about being trusting, weak, and dependent. God's power was built on love. Consider Jesus' famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, what he said there. He said, "Blessed are you if you're poor in spirit. Blessed are you if you mourn, if you are meek, if you show mercy, if you are peaceful, and if you are persecuted." That's a message that still today is like, seriously? You want us to be all those things? We're supposed to be proud and have this, you know, definite strong feeling about ourselves. We are supposed to not necessarily be focused on our self-image. We should be focused on God's image in us. But that was his message. He went on to say that he does not focus on your behavior, but your heart. He said, it is said, do not murder. But I say, do not hate. It is said, do not commit adultery. But I say, do not even lust. He said, if someone strikes you on the one cheek, you're supposed to turn the other cheek. And you are supposed to go that extra mile. What kind of message was this to people? And he ended it with that part. He said, also said, you're supposed to love your enemies. This was an upside down message then, and it is still today. But Jesus cares more about our hearts, creating that new heart in us, that get rid of that heart of stone, that heart that's focused on what we want and focusing on him and what he wants. He cares more about our heart than our actions or our appearance. Remember what God told Samuel when he went to Jesse's house and he couldn't pick out the king, and he asked, because he had another son, and he said, yes, I do, but he's not really king material. And he said, God does not look at the outside appearance. God looks at the heart. So the king, as the king of a unique upside down kingdom, Jesus does for his people what no other king would do. The king serves and he suffers. Matthew 20 wrote, it says, Jesus called them together, his disciples, and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentile lord over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to serve. Even when he entered Jerusalem on that last week, the triumphal entry, he came in on a donkey. And this is what Matthew recorded then. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The prophet identified Jesus as your king. And he rode into Jerusalem. And the people thought he was riding into Jerusalem to conquer the Roman oppression, as I said. But he did not. He came to conquer sin and death so that we could have a heart change. He goes on, Matthew records this. He said, after the crucifixion, he says, when they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. This is Jesus, King of the Jews. Now that sign was a mockery. They did that to mock Jesus for allowing himself to be crucified on a cross. What kind of fool king would be crucified on a cross? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus came to bring an upside down kingdom. He suffered the humiliation and shame of the cross so that we can be exalted in his kingdom forever as forgiven sons and daughters. Jesus focuses on eternity while we focus on circumstances and ourselves and our traditions. The cross is a reminder. The cross is a reminder that we cannot give ourselves new hearts. Jesus had to die for us to experience God's forgiveness, grace, and mercy. And Jesus came to accomplish what we cannot accomplish on our own. He came to restore our relationship with our Creator. The one and only true God, the God who loves you, our Heavenly Father. But Jesus was, yes, he was a suffering servant, but he was also a conquering king. Luke 19, Jesus took the 12 aside and told him, we are going to Jerusalem, and everything that was written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again. Jesus told his disciples before they even went to Jerusalem what was going to happen, and it happened just like he said. And Jesus was crucified on that cross on Friday. But on Sunday, he walked out of that tomb alive. Satan had struck his heel while he was on that cross, just as God said he would in the Garden of Eden. But Jesus crushed his head when he walked out of that tomb. And he conquered the power of sin and death forever. So that here, even 2,000 years later, we can celebrate the forgiveness and the love that God had for us through Jesus. The promise, the arrival, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus is the heart of God's story and a reminder, once again, that God keeps his promises. And all these people we've been talking about up to this point all point to Jesus. Jesus. Jesus is greater than Adam. Adam failed his test in the garden. His disobedience brought the curse and death. Jesus passed his test in the garden. His obedience brought hope and life. Jesus is greater than Abraham. Abraham left his land and his family to obey God's promise of an earthly family. Jesus left the splendor of heaven to fulfill God's promise for an eternal family. Jesus is greater than Moses. Moses rescued God's people out of slavery and captivity in Egypt. Jesus rescues God's people out of slavery and captivity to sin. Jesus is greater than Joshua. Joshua leads the people into the promised land, the land of rest. Jesus brings us into eternal life in paradise and brings us true rest, eternal rest for our souls. Jesus is greater than David. David was a conquering king. He defeated Goliath. He defeated the enemies of Israel. But Jesus is the true conquering king as he conquers our enemies of sin and suffering and death. He is the victorious king. And Jesus is greater than the prophets. Jesus is the fulfillment of all the messages that the prophets spoke. Jesus is the promised Messiah. Jesus came to give us hope. Jesus came to give us a new heart, a heart for God. And because we have hope, because Jesus cares about our hearts, taking away our sin and shame. So the question is Jesus the king of your life? Because knowing Jesus changes things. It changes your identity. You are a child of God. It may not change all your circumstances, but it can change how you deal with all your circumstances because you know that you are God's child. And what you do with Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is so important. Jake's going to come out, and we're going to sing a song. And we sing this before, and we're just going to sing it really simple. But this song pretty much wraps up everything I've been saying in a song, which I think is very important. And I want you during this song, I think we're going to stand together, actually, and I want you to be thinking about what you're going to do about Jesus. Jesus has done his part. And you can either accept it or you reject it. You can live it or you can forget it. You can thank him or you can ignore him. And you can praise him or you can deny him. What are you going to do? If you need, this is, we're going to take this kind of as a time for you to think about your heart. If you need to talk to somebody about your relationship with Jesus, maybe you've wandered away. Maybe you need to come back. Maybe you've never known Jesus in the first place. You come forward and we'll be ready to talk with you and pray with you. As we sing this song that really wraps all this up about Jesus, you think about that. If you need to come, you come. Something to think about and to know that you are loved by Jesus. He is the true heart of God's story. He came to save us. And I hope that we can appreciate this. So I'm going to ask you to go ahead and have a seat. I'm going to read a passage of scripture and then we'll take communion together. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, the gift of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. Lord, as we take this communion, remember his death, I pray that you'll just help us to examine our hearts and to lift up our praise to you, the Almighty God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected with us throughout the week by following Parkside on social media. To learn more, visit ParksideChristian.com.